we're back with the 100th episode. And I have my boy John on. What's up, John?
100!
100!
What's up?
John Lawson has been on before. So some of you are probably familiar with him. But it seems like I have you on every podcast that I try. I just thought about that.
Exactly.
I come up with some new shit. I'm like, let's get John.
Exactly. And it's fun. I enjoy it.
But a lot of them don't work out. And that's the topic, right? We kind of thought about the short term versus long term. Because, you know, when we start things, a lot of the time it's just like, you know what? Let's just try doing it. I have no idea what I'm doing. and just work it out. And sometimes things stick and sometimes they don't.
That's true, you know? But, I mean, let's say you're trying to grow a specific business. Would that work?
It depends, right? Like, so when people start marketing agencies, you know, well, at least the people I spoke with, for the most part, the first year or so, they just take any job possible. Like, I'm just going to do anything, just anything I can, until they figure out, like, okay, this is not making me money, or this is making me money, or this I actually hate doing, right? And they'll start niching down a little bit. And then once they niche down, eventually they're like, oh, okay, now I got to scale back up. But it's like this flow, right? Like, it goes in different directions. But I think in the beginning, like, you don't really need that good of a plan necessarily.
But do you? Okay. I think there's going to be something different here. We're going to talk about plan versus goal then. Okay. So, yes, you might not have much of a plan, but you need to have a goal in the beginning. My goal is, you know what I'm saying? And you can start without a plan, but I think a goal is a very important thing to have. Because if you don't know where the goal is, how do you know you scored? Oops, bam. It's like, no.
I like that too. Maybe we'll put a sound effect in there for that bam. You know, I did have a goal when I started the podcast. Because, you know, when you mentioned to me, you know, dude, you're coming up to the 100th episode. And I was like, you know, I am. And in the beginning, the whole thing was one of my buddies, he's pretty successful. He's like, Tom, you should just start a podcast. So I was like, okay, you know, and it shows, right? The beginning, like the intro was from Fiverr, the outro was from Fiverr, because it was popular back then. It's not, I don't know. I don't know about now. I'm actually tired of it. The actual keyword I picked was just something, you know, I just looked in the keyword tool like, oh, I could probably rank for this, but, you know, it didn't really make that much sense. But my goal was to really build out a network, you know, and very quickly I figured out, okay, I have the network now. I'm tired of the podcast, you know, because what's the point, right? Like, I built out the network and I'm building it out even more organically now, and the goal's changed, you know, because I gave up on the podcast for a little bit.
Absolutely.
And after like 6 months or 9 months, I think, I just gave up on it. I was like, this sucks. I'm bored.
So what was the goal that changed? What was the original goal?
See, the original goal was just to network.
Okay.
I was like, that's what I can use. Because, I mean, you know, when my buddy told me to start a podcast, I was like, for what? Like, the businesses I had, they didn't need to get an audience. You know what I mean? Like, they were different types of businesses. Like, ones where I don't necessarily need leads or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm good.
Right.
Now, the SEO agency could have, but I'm like, I'm not doing a podcast on SEO. That's the most boring thing ever. I mean, seriously. You know, because the thing is, people overcomplicate SEO. And I always try to break it down. And I'm like, you know what? I can probably break down SEO to anyone in like 20, 30 minutes. It would be a podcast of one episode.
Dang.
For real, it's not that complicated. I mean, yeah, okay. Implementing it is quite complicated, but I'm not going to go on the show and, like, lead you through, like, every WordPress setup and things, like, how to do it.
I'm not interested. Yeah, okay.
But that's what I thought.
So that's what you thought.
I mean, you know, and then I actually... Well, I played around with that, John, and right. I interviewed a couple SEO experts from agencies. I'm like, these fuckers know less than I do.
And they kind of
seriously,
say,
everyone's
They say the same thing.
Well, it's like the same. Yeah, I mean, you know, well, you need to get your on page right, and you need to get backlinks. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, we know this.
Right.
And everyone is trying to be unique, you know, but I mean, the uniqueness is like, I don't know, man. Like, it's maybe about like in packages, but almost every agency I've dealt with that I had on the podcast, or a lot of these episodes never came out because they were just too bad.
Wow. Well, they're technical guys.
Well, they were, yeah, well, not really. They were more sales guys.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like salesy. And, you know, and I'm trying to get into this SEO thing, like, what makes you different? And they're like, well, you know, we actually do everything. It was like this main thing. Like, we, you know. Like, I was like, everything? Like, you can walk my dog and feed the kids? I mean, like everything? You know, like, but yeah, it's so I didn't go in that direction, you know, and definitely not. And I just started playing around with what interests me. I think that's what brought me back. And I was like, oh, you know, there's a lot of fields I don't really know so much about.
Okay.
You know, like some of the e-commerce stuff, some of the personal branding, some of the PR online courses, which I've dabbled with clients, but I just, you know, I was still pretty new to, you know, so I quickly got an education of people that came on and told me what worked for them. Sure. But this was different, right? Because this was people actually selling their own online course. So they went to the trenches. You know, it's not like someone just selling some bullshit like, yeah, I can, you know, sell your course for you. It's like these people tried and failed many times. And I was like, oh, wow, I can learn a lot here.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah. So it sort of went on, but I feel like this, you know, short-term versus long-term planning thing. I talk to a lot of people here in Chiang Mai because I'm in Thailand, right? And a lot of people come here to start their businesses, to bootstrap. And they don't really have a long-term plan for the most part, or they have like a dream, you know, like a dream, but they're spinning in place. Or the why is not strong enough, or the resistance is too strong, you know, because they keep overthinking things. Like I have a good buddy here. He goes to the gym with me, and every time he asks me stuff, I'm like, dude, you just stop thinking so much, man. Get on the call, get some fucking clients.
Yes. Okay. So give me an example of a good long-term goal.
So, like, for me, with the online course marketing, like, the long-term goal is to be able to get 90% hit rate. Because, you know, you'll never get 100, right? But to be able to make sure that 90% of everything I work on makes a profit.
Why?
I think that would put me in a number 1% of...
Okay,
all
I'm just going to stop you right here. And I don't know what I'm doing on this call, but I'm going to stop you right here. That is not a long-term goal. And just like you said before, your why is not strong enough. So a long-term goal needs to be more of a vision. You know what I mean? And give me a vision a little bit of what you want that to be.
You know, that's something that we actually discussed with the guy I work on for the creation of the courses, right, with Till.
Uh-huh.
And we thought about the vision, and we're like, you know what, like, imagine if we could get a conference at some point and have all the different companies that work with anything to do with online courses, right? And we're right in the middle in there, leading the pack, and we're like the one resource that everyone goes to for anything online course related.
Okay, and then why would they go to you for that? Why? What's the why there?
Well, that's where a lot of the 90% hit rate comes in, right? So people gravitate towards the best, and you know that. It's like a winner-take-all on almost in any business, right? Like most people drink Coke, most people go to Subway, most people listen to Tim Ferriss or Joe Rogan, right? Like people follow the top names, even though they're maybe not the best at everything, but they're great at one thing. People gravitate towards that. So the way I see it, if I was able to become one of the best marketers in online courses, and we, you know, partnered up with the best platforms like Thinkific and all these guys, like people would gravitate towards it because it's, you know, like they would know this is like the all-star team. You know, it's like, and this with basketball too, when you think of it, right? Like you love watching all the all-star games, right? That the dunk contest, because that's the best of the best. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even watch the regular seasons unless it's the finals.
Right. Okay. That's now that is a great long-term goal. All right? Because you said, hey, I don't know the whole thing around the conference. You're going to have a conference, but you're going to be networking with the best people, and they're coming to you for their information because you are the best of the best and with the best of the best. And what does it say? And that you were the best in the market. You know, your company was the best in the market. Now, that is a great long-term goal with a good why. All right? So let's run with that. Now let's go with the short-term goals. All right. Now I'm going to give you a hint on the short-term goal. Is one of the things is you got to kind of look at the long-term as the ladder, and the short-term has to be rings in the ladder. And every once in a while, you might test different things to see the strength, the tension. You know, how strong of a dowel rod do I have to make that a ring in my ladder? Right? So that you can test the short-term goals till you find what sticks. But your short-term goals need to really get you to your long-term goal. Those are the best ones because anything other than that is kind of pointless busy work or distraction.
Yeah, that's been my my focus this year too. You know, I've started listening to a lot of Jocko. I think Jocko Willing. He's a beast, the military guy, the Navy SEAL. Him and Stephen Pressfield started looking at those books, and I started realizing that, you know, since I'm fairly comfortable, right, like I don't need the income as bad as some people, like, you know, I think we talked about this yesterday, like my motivation was not there as much,
right,
you know,
right,
and I started thinking, like, the best times I had where I've been the most productive and happy is where I've really just took out anything out of my life that does not lead me towards what I'm working on, the goals, and just put it aside. Because like you said, it's the busy work, right? But the busy work, it's like you can sit on the internet for 4 or 5 hours and not accomplish anything.
Big time. The internet it's one of our greatest tools and one of our greatest distractions, especially in social media.
Yeah, I stay away from social media as much as possible, especially in the mornings. You know, I know this. Every time I get into it in the morning, my whole day is just done.
That's a good point. I like that. Yeah, social media might be more like liquor. It's better to be doing that after work.
Yeah, it's like an after work thing. You know?
It's an after work.
Like, I do use it for work a little bit. Uh-huh. You know, just see what some of the people are doing that I'm networking with, some of the things coming out, some of the problems. Because, you know, the Facebook groups are good for that. People always complain about something.
Yes, they are. But you don't need to be there every day.
No, like.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Like twice a week. Twice a week is enough.
I'm preaching to the choir right now. I'm talking to myself.
Well, you were the social media guy, right?
You're
going to be the speaker guy now, the international speaking guy.
I don't know if I'm going to be the guy, but that's definitely part of the goal, you know? Actually, you know, when it came to me, even though I was doing everything else, where I'm at now in terms of being an international keynote speaker, literally, that was at the time, I didn't know it was a long-term objective. I thought it was a dream. But today it is a reality, you know, and then when I go back and I look, I see all the short term things I did to actually get there, you know. And so now once you get there and you get to your long term, you got to move forward and do something else. Every 5-10 years, you're going to hit those goals. You know, once you get this conference, you're going to have to make new goals.
I think it took you about 5 years, man, because I remember we met up in Chicago. I think it was I took you to a really nice spot
to eat. Dude, that was still the best pho I've had in a long time. So.
But I see your face when you came through the streets, man. You're like, dude, where'd you take me?
I was not expecting that. That was for sure. That was the first time we got together, and I was like, oh, he's probably going to take us for some steak. You know, we in Chicago, you know.
I tested you, man, and you passed. You came into the ghetto. You're like, you didn't turn around. You didn't.
No. Yeah. Hell, I ain't going nowhere. Shoot. I ain't scared. But yeah, that was awesome. I'd go back. But
you actually. Yeah, dude, but back then you said, I want to speak internationally.
Ah.
Like, I remember that. That was like the big thing back then for you. Wow. You know, you're like, you know, I really want to get up and have these, like, international keynotes. And, like, bam, you're doing it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Wow. All right. Now I feel like I got confirmation of word. It's like, yeah, I actually did want to do this. So
you did want to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious in 5 years if we do an episode.
Like, yeah, right.
Oh, where are things going to be?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We'll do one live from your conference, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, the thing I've noticed with me, at least, is sometimes, like, even when you're going towards, like, these long-term goals, like something like a conference, like something else pops up, which is very similar. But just a much better opportunity, right? Like, it could be, you know, creating the next platform. Like, if I actually thought,
yes,
I can do something better than Teachable or Thinkific, I would be like, you know what, this conference is okay, but I've done concerts before, it's so much work. Like, I'd rather do an app.
Right.
You know, it's possible. It's possible.
It's possible. Right. And that's interesting, too. When is it, you know, when does the big picture change? I don't know if the big picture has to be altered all the time, but if it changes, it needs to be bigger than the other big picture, in my opinion. I don't know.
It does, but for me, what I've noticed, and this is why I kind of hold on to this, you know, being like the having a 90% hit rate or being a top 1%, because you got to keep working and grinding it out to be in that, right?
Right.
And what I found is if you grind long enough, opportunities will happen. Like, mm-hmm. The muse will find you. You know, like, if you keep sitting and working every single day, at some day you're just going to have that idea.
Yeah.
You know, and it might hit you even if you're not working, but you just will not be ready to take action on it. You won't have the capabilities. But if you are grinding it out and it comes at the right time, you're just like, you know what? I got it.
You got it. And it needs to, here's one thing I'm thinking about, too, is like, you know, the bigger the goal sometimes, the more people that can get involved in your vision, in terms of people don't like working on small things.
That is true. Hey, John, by the way, are you recording this? Because I just got a warning saying there's a problem with the audio data on my software.
Actually, I am.
Awesome. So at least we have one that's going to be recorded for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this has turned into an interview on you, so I like it. I do.
I just wanted a conversation. I didn't really want an interview on me, but it's all right. Yeah,
but I like it. It's your 100th episode.
It's my 100th episode, yeah.
So it's like, where's the long-term objective here?
Yeah, it's funny looking back on it, too. Just because when I started it, if you told me I'm going to get to 100 episodes and actually want to continue for another 100, you know, I'd be like, nah, I don't know. Just I'm doing it just because.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And I think it's been like that with a lot of work, man. Like, when you just start grinding on stuff, you're just like, you know what? Like, this is taking me in some weird direction, but it's okay.
And also, it's the magic of time. It is the magic of time. It's like, you know, if you do something long enough, over time, you will have a collection of work, you know? And a lot of people drop off or, you know, don't stick with anything long enough to see the success that it will have, you know, and the outcomes it can bring. You've got to really not always be jumping off the pot too soon, you know?
I think that's a really difficult one. And you coach people too, right? I don't coach people that much. Like, how long does it usually take, you know, for someone to hit that stride? Because I know it's not overnight. And sometimes it takes longer than a year or two, or, you know, like, especially if you're really trying to make something happen, or if you just don't have a good idea yet.
Yeah, well, that's where the short-term goals come into play. Because the short-term goal has to be something that you can achieve It's got to be something that you can really see doing within a short term, right? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, the year's done, you know? And that's why those things are kind of important, because every time you hit a small goal, a short-term goal, it encourages you to move on. You know, it's that endorphin thing. It's like, yeah, I got this, and I keep moving forward. Because you're gonna get hit back no matter what you're in. At some point, life just happens. But if you've gotten into a habit of understanding where you're going, it really helps. Really helps. That's why coaching helps. Like, no, I'm teasing. I'm solely teasing.
No, I mean, it does help. Like, it's funny, but a lot of people actually just come to me for these short consultations. Just, you know, we're friends, and they just sell me stuff. And I'm like, well, maybe it's because I've been around the block a little longer, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, especially, mm-hmm. like, compared to someone that's, like, 23, 24. Like, I feel like, yeah, I got you, man. Like, I've been there.
Yeah, there is no replacement for wisdom. You can't fake it. You can't get it out of a book. Nothing. You have to be on the planet for X amount of time to understand what wisdom is. You can't even fathom what it is. It's for a young person, it's actually impossible for you to try to pretend to understand what wisdom is. You just can't understand. I know I couldn't. I know where I'm at today in terms of, just because I've been on the planet for 50 years, 50 plus years. It's just, you can't get that. You can't fake it. You can't buy it. Nothing. Wisdom.
The interesting thing is that I see the age group between like 18 and 24 online trying to act like they know everything, you know, and be influencers, right? Like this big push for, you know.
Absolutely.
And
but do you, like, what here's do the you thing. Know? No, but here's the thing. If you really think about it, we were that.
We were that.
Exactly.
I know I was. I don't expect actually, when them I was 16, I knew everything.
I don't expect them to be anything other than that. Because I get it. That's a great time. You know, I can't get that back necessarily. You know, I can't get that.
Yeah,
back.
That complete blind confidence, right?
Yeah, nothing can stop me now. I love it. You know, but I remember at that time in my life, I was definitely looking into those who were good mentors and wise, leaders. To definitely listen to it. Yeah, not necessarily did I take every piece of advice, but I definitely had some muses I could go to, you know, and talk and get some good advice from. So that does help.
It does help. Yeah.
You know,
but it's true. I think most lose that confidence, that blind confidence around 30.
30 things change, or when you get married, things change. When life changes,
right.
Yeah. So, or you have a kid. Oh my gosh, you know, having a kid changes a lot of people in different ways. You know, it's just there's little major things that happen to us. But 30 freaks you out. I don't think you freak out as much at 40 as 30. 30 just freaked me out. I don't know.
It's like, yeah, sort of.
Life's
it's
over.
Like the halfway point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really not, but it feels like it. It really feels like it. I don't know.
I thought that too for a little bit, right? But then I started calculating. I was like, hold on, like the first 15 to 18 years, like I didn't know what I was doing at all. Like I was still, you know. So I actually just had 12 years where I've been working, and I have another 30 or so to go. So this is not a halfway point at all.
That's you know, a you very can't good count perspective. At least, like,
you can't count the first 10 at all. Like, you barely knew how to speak back then.
Right.
Like, talking nonsense all the time. Like, I have some friends' kids that sometimes, you know, I talk to when they're like around 10, 12. I'm like, yeah, they don't know what they're saying. Like, they barely just learn how to talk.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But you know what? Those are very formative years, too, though. You know?
They're awesome. They're awesome.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like a lot of stuff gets hardwired. So in terms of in the coaching thing, sometimes you have to go pretty far back to change some of the thinking that is holding you back. It's kind of weird, but you get hardwired. It's like, you know, I can only go because I'm old. And I just remember how, you know, we used to have like the machine language, which was the actual base language that everything ran on. And on top of that, there would be DOS, let's say. And on top of that, there would be Windows, you know. And then on top of that, we build the internet. And on top of that, we built, you know, social media. But literally, if I want to break Facebook, I have to get down to the base code. And if I can get into the base code of Facebook, I can break the whole thing down, right? And so all that to say is that there are certain things that are hardwired in us in those formative years. Sometimes people will get some very negative thoughts about themselves because others in our society, or just, you know, society itself, can put images into you that are burnt for a long time. It's kind of weird.
That is true. No, it's actually not. It's true, man. Like the stuff your parents say, and some of, like, depends where you grew up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, and it depends on how you respond to it, because some people will take that and it'll be water off a duck's back. Another person will take that and internalize it totally. And then they wonder why they feel X way, or why every time they're in this certain situation, what they end up doing. Here's the thing. This is a little bit deeper than that. The thing is that the brain is lazy. If you think about all of this body that we have, it's only there to sustain this little, you know, 5 pound, what, I don't know how much a brain weighs, maybe 3 ounces. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? All of this body exists for that, literally. And the deal is, I don't even remember where I was going with that. It just got me. Oh, my gosh. I'm so old.
I think just being lazy. You know, the resistance.
Oh, the brain. Yes, the brain being lazy. Right. So what it ends up doing is it will create patterns. So it doesn't have to think on every decision. We create patterns automatically. That's what it does. The brain is great at creating a pattern. And sometimes we have to think outside of that pattern. We have to create new ways for getting things done, because oftentimes there can be an issue sitting right in front of you, and every time it can be like the Rubik's Cube. It's like every time I know if I turn it this way, this way, this way, this way, it will ultimately become the way it is. And if I try to show you how to take it apart and just move those parts to where they need to be, you might totally ignore it, because even though something's easier to do, your brain's already in the mode of doing it the old way. That's what I wanted to say.
That was beautiful, John.
I love that. That's good.
I'll tell you what. With these issues, and I think a lot of people have the same problem too, just being able to sit in the quiet.
Hmm.
Put some work in front of you and just sit there. And you will realize very quickly, you don't need meditation for this shit. You will really realize within like 5 to 6 minutes how quickly your brain's trying to pull you to do something else.
Oh, just thinking about what you just said made me uncomfortable. And I mean,
but try
that.
Doing it just for one day, okay. You know, like just leave all the distractions, right? Just put like your goal in front of you. The only thing you can do is either work, read some kind of a book, or just think. And if you just start writing down all the things that your brain's trying to have you do, like, hey, let's watch some TV. Let's go talk to someone. Let's get someone to coach me. Let's get, you know, like all this different type of shit.
Hmm.
And you're just like, wow, that's all the patterns I've had. Like, this is all the stuff that's been stopping me from accomplishing my goals. Like, the most tricky one is the coaching, which, you know, I get there's room for coaching. But the second your brain goes like, you know what, let's not do this. Let's get someone's input, you know. Let's get coached on this. It's that busy work again. Like, I feel like I accomplished something, you know.
Yeah.
But not really.
I get it. It can be. Because sometimes when – it's like being you want to lose weight, you can buy the book or buy the diet plan or whatever, and say, I'm going to start it tomorrow, never start it. And the reason why you never started is because you bought the book, and the book satisfied that need. And so sometimes...
Or getting a personal trainer. Now, I had this friend. She was pretty overweight. And she came up to me once, and she's like, yeah, you know, like, I got a personal trainer, and he's mad at me because I'm not doing my stuff, and I'm not eating well. I'm like, well, one, I don't think he gives a shit because he gets paid. Two, I can see that you're not working out. And three, like, who's this really hurting?
Yourself.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like, she's acting like, you know, like, she's done the big part. She's got a personal trainer. Exactly. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
He's like, hey, look, I went to Warsaw this summer. And me and my girlfriend, we were at the gym, like this very upscale gym, one of the top ones in the city. And every lady had a personal trainer. And the funniest thing is none of them worked out. The personal trainers worked out during the time they were getting paid. And then like once every 5 minutes, they said like, okay, lift this. And then, you know, back to talking and working out. I'm like, these fucking dudes are brilliant. Like, can you imagine like 5 days a week you get paid to work out? And then you just, you know, oh, okay, hold this weight for me, you know, like, and this is your workout.
But they're working out. They're in the gym. They're getting everything that they want.
Yeah, yes, but that's that busy work, right?
It is like, busy work.
I'm getting in shape. I went to the gym. I got a personal trainer, and I lifted one weight.
Done. They've satisfied it, bro. Yes, absolutely. So let's go back to the short-term goal. All right? So it needs to be, I think one of those things like these ladies, there's nothing measurable. I bet you when they come to the gym. Yeah, I bet you when they come to the gym, they're not getting weighed in. They're not getting measurements taken. You know, if you had a chart and we were doing that every time, you would know that you're not working out. You wouldn't point to the trainer and say, dude, you're not doing the things. It's like, no, you're not doing the things, because that's a specific and measurable goal. So
yeah, that is true. Like, I, you know, when I go to the gym, I don't like talking to too many people. I have my all my workouts on the phone, like the stuff I've done last week, what I want to hit. And I actually had someone come up to me and like, dude, like, you're too much with this, like, you have everything noted down. I was like, well, yeah. Yeah, but I was like, how can I hit my goal? Like, if I don't know what I just did, right?
Right, right. I think that goes back to your SEO, why you're good at the SEO thing. Very measurable.
Yeah, it's very measurable, yeah, that thing. But you know, I don't like measuring everything. You know, like, there are some things, like, I have some friends here who are just way more, like, they measure every single thing they eat, every dollar they spend. Everything, right? Everything is measured. I'm like, dude, that's a miserable life.
And if,
to me, at least.
Look, if you sat down and you talked to them about it, I guarantee they've been doing it since they was 10.
Yeah, and but the thing was, they tried to get me to do it.
Right?
And I was
so
like, nah, like
that's not
like
you.
I'm hating my life when I keep doing that.
Yeah, that's a little much. But I mean, if we're talking about sitting in the big room and not doing anything but thinking, these are some of the things you probably should think on, right? You think?
No, I do. I do, and I've tried. But the thing is, with some of them, they just don't help my life as much. Like with the SEO, yeah, we got to get measured because we have clients. We have, you know, responsibilities. We got to make sure things come out right. Mm-hmm. With the gym, like if I want to hit, you know, a certain percentage or you know, like weight on the bench or on a deadlift, like I need to measure it, right? Like I can't just randomly come in and be like, oh, you know, last week I did 160 pounds. Now I'm going to do 250 because that's my goal. Like, I'm going to break my back. You know, it's just you can't do it randomly. And you know, you can't progress if you don't really measure things out. And like, you know, so because I'll forget how I felt last week. You know, I'll come in today. I'll be like, dude, like, I'm feeling great. Let me squat like 300. But it's not going to happen. You know, especially if I look at the notes, be like, I squatted 165 and like my back was hurting, you know.
Yeah,
I think a part of that is like, you know, safety. Just, you know, at the gym, it's safety too. Like you can't.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you take too much of a pre-workout and you think you can break the bar. You know, it's just.
You just made me think of something else too. Is that sometimes, like you said, you went in, and you put too much on and your back hurts. And so we end up sometimes we'll put too much on, try to move forward too fast that we impede our progress. Because let's say your back got bad so you couldn't go in for 2 weeks. That's going to hurt you, right? So we take on too much sometimes, and it sets us back from our goals.
I think as business people, we do that a lot.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
A lot. Like, we always, we have a new idea. Like, I'll have, you know, like, let's say I'm coming up with a new service, and I feel like, shit, like, we should have these being sold now. We should have the landing page up. We should have all this up. We should already message everyone we know if they want to buy it. Like, all this should have been done yesterday.
Hmm.
You know, but it's it's not how it works.
So you can't just over, just like, bam. And then sometimes, you know, I remember those commercials, man, where they would sit and wait for their commercial to play, and then the commercial plays, and or the advertisement launches, all of a sudden their site crashes. It's like, so you wanted all of the traffic, but you were not even ready to handle it, so you end up losing, you know, most of your business that you could have received. So you got to be ready also.
I think that was very common back in the days. I remember a lot of websites crashed, even if just an article went viral.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, a lot of them. Like, you would get 404s all the time when you went through, like, dig.com or something, you know? Just all the time something was crashing. I was like, wow.
Yes.
These guys have shitty hosting.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, it was very expensive back then.
It was very expensive.
I mean, you know, the price of hosting today, getting on an S3 server is, like, nothing. And you're not paying for it unless that big wave comes. It's like, you know, everything's so extensible now. Whereas before, if that was the box you had, that was the box you had. Today, you can extend almost on the fly. So.
So I'll put you on the spot a little bit before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
I know you like being on a spot, so, you know, you can start freestyling.
Okay, let's try this.
what's the advice you would give yourself if you were in your 20s or 30s trying to grow a business after all the stuff you've known now, especially about the, you know, when we talked about the short-term goals, long-term goals, like, how would you talk to yourself back then?
I would definitely tell myself totally exactly how big the internet's going to be. That's all if I would have known, you know, it's like, yeah, I had a feeling. You know, but if I would have known, if somebody from the future could have told me this day would be here, oh, dude, life changing. That's all I need to tell you. I know that's kind of boring.
True, right?
That's kind of boring.
No, it's not.
But
it's
that's
not,
like giving when, you, the, you know, that's you, giving you the lottery ticket numbers.
Well, when you think back, and if you knew it was that big, and, you know, when the domains even started coming out, like, you would be sitting on all of them, man.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I would be sitting on all of them. That's a good one. I like that. That's all I need to tell you. It's like, buy this thing, buy that thing. Although, it, you know what? Unintended consequences, people would look them up and then never use them. So Google wouldn't be called Google if I bought Google. They would have just changed it to something else.
That's different. What I would have done is been like, okay, just look at all the main words in the dictionary. That could be products.
And just buy
every
those.
Single domain.
Yeah.
Beef, chicken.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I wouldn't even
just
have to sell
those.
I wouldn't even have to sell those. I'd just redirect them.
Just like lawyer.com. Go through all the professions. Just anything. Anyone that's making money, if they got a good service or a good position, buy that domain.
Okay.
Just invest everything in that. Forget stocks.
Next one.
You got another thing you would have said?
No. I'm just saying, I thought you had a couple of them, so I thought it was rapid fire.
No, this is the main one, man, because this is important. Like, lived in the business world for like 20, 30 years, right? Like, you got to have something else you would have said other than,
oh,
like,
yeah,
here's
I would
another
have said a whole lot
money.
Of other things. Yeah, okay. So let's see. let's get into the mindset a little bit. You know, my mindset advice would be to I'm trying to think. I mean, there's books and I'm trying to think of how I would change. I don't think I would change my mindset. I wouldn't change my
mindset. No, I think that's too difficult, right? Like, yeah. Maybe more like how to handle things like failure or
Okay.
That, for example.
Like there really is no such thing as failure unless you fail to learn. That sounds so stupid, but I swear if I could have gotten that word back to myself, that would have been huge.
See, the way I always explain it to myself is, you know, there's no such thing as failure. It's an experiment, right? Yes. So you just, you did an experiment. It didn't work out. Try another one. Yeah. Right? Because if you think you failed, that kind of, you know, like, shit, man. Especially from going off from this blind confidence to, like, failing, that's, you know, that messes some people up.
Failure can put people on the sidelines. It can make them never want to try anything ever again. I know for me, it there has been times where I was just, like, so doubting everything, you know? Just because something didn't work out the way I thought it would. So, yeah, it is. That's something you want to be able to deal with. I look at my kid right now, you know, and she's kind of like all over the place all the time, worried about dumb shit. She's 21 years old, and
that age, yeah,
and I'm just like, you know. Just because you don't know what you want to do and you're taking your classes and you don't know exactly where you want to, who cares? I ask old people right now, it's like, are you doing what you expected to do at 21? And the number of people and the percentages of people that say yes would be very small, you know? I'm like, don't overthink everything. It's just, it's not going to ruin your life. Trust me.
Yeah, but there are two types of people. And then when you mentioned it, I do remember it. You know, like I was in college, me being, you know, blindly confident. You know, I pretty much just flew through everything. I didn't, you know, like nothing could stop me. But one of my friends, she was coming back from a test and she was crying. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I'll pass this, if I'll get a career. And I'm like, and to me, this was all like what?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't studied for one test in this whole school. Like, who gives a shit? You know, I just passed them. That was an automatic pass. Like, I passed them. I passed these tests and I do what I want. And she's worrying about, like, you know, like this whole, like, how is this going to impact her in 20 years? I'm like, you know, yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, I think with girls, it does happen more.
Guys, I do too. Yeah, dumb. I think, yeah.
We just run into a wall.
Yeah, you're right.
We're just running.
You're right. Maybe that's why I notice it so much, that you probably are very right. It's like, you know, and I got my nephew, and I call him my other kid, and he's 26, you know, and, you know, he wants to be a rapper and all that. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Go ahead. Do what you want. You know, I don't worry about it much. Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah, do you, bro. You know, but he's into doing himself. Like I said, the woman, she's a little bit more into making sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm just like, let go just a little bit, you know. And with him, of course, but I'm like, take some shit more seriously. So it works both ways.
Yeah. But you're right. It's interesting. I think, you know, some people complain there's not enough women in business, but I just think it's only because, one, they overthink things, and two, they got to deal with us. You know, a whole bunch of morons that are completely just running around, like, thinking we can do everything, and they're like, what the hell?
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't want to deal with me, you know, especially at that age. So that would be one of those things. The other thing I would do, honestly, man, is I never understood compound interest. Oh my God. If I could just have grasped that $1,000.
You know, I figured it out.
Would have changed.
I figured it out that the banks will charge you compound interest, but I could never figure out how to do it myself through the regular financial institution. Like, I got it through running a business. you can compound things. But, you know, the way that they taught me in school, I was like, yeah, the banks can do it, but I can't do it. It's not like I can put like $100 into a bank and be like, you fuckers, like, owe me compound interest now.
Yeah, you can. Well, not just sitting it in the bank, but in different investments, you can.
Right, in other ones, but just the way when people taught me, I was like, you know, I just couldn't grasp that idea back then, you know. Yeah. But thankfully, I grasped, you know, invest in yourself and it compounds.
And it does compound. I would have probably, it's like the first house I bought, I let it go. I would have kept it. You know?
Mm.
I remember it wasn't until I was like 35 I read a book about the millionaire next door, and I think one of the things in that book said, you know, never sell your property that you own. Just rent it out.
Huh.
You know? And then by the time, because if you just look at how many properties they said the average person will move 5 to 10 times, right? And it's like if you keep all of those, you keep all those, sell half when you get older, 40s, 50s, sell half of them, pay off the rest of them, and you got income to live off of. That shit.
It's true. Yeah, it's a lot of these little small things. Yeah.
That's it. That's small things. You know, just small things. I remember somebody was like, if you just put $100 away every month, $100 away every month for 10 years, you'll have like some $3 million or something like that when you retire. Something like that. Something stupid. It's a dumb number. And probably it's not even 100, but it's a dumb number.
Yeah, man. Like the financial stuff for sure, man. But they don't teach any of this stuff in schools, really. Because I remember I took a lot of finance and business classes. They didn't really teach like the real shit you should need to know. Like they said, like take a $500 something and put it into a mutual fund. You know what? I did. And that shit fucking lost money. I came back after like 4 years and they're like, oh, you don't even have enough to add money to it. You got to just put another 300 in to get it back to 500 so you can put more in. And I was like, what the hell is this shit?
Hmm.
You know, they were taking fees like $20, $30 and losing money.
Oh,
you know?
And I was like, this is insane. See? Okay. Yeah, they're taking their fee. Yep. So you see how your money got eaten up just $30 a month at a time. Huh. That's crazy.
That's crazy. But it was like the finance class in my business school. The guy's like, you know, yeah, you got to... you got to do this. And if you just put that in like 10 years, it's going to be worth $10,000. I was like, you know what? And I messaged him too, because I found him on Facebook. I was like, asshole, after the 10 years, after your thing, that shit would have been worth like $150.
You're funny.
I lost $350 after 10 years of your fucking idea.
That's hilarious.
That's a good thing about Facebook, right? Like, you can find these features of yours and stuff. Like, hey.
Dude, I think you're going to start a movement right there. That's bad.
That's true. The one action step you can take from this, like, remember some bullshit advice someone gave you 10, 20 years ago.
Go find them on Facebook
and be like, look.
Go find them. Yes. Yes. Tell them what it was worth.
Especially if you've accomplished something. Hmm. And you can find that one counselor that said you'll never be anything. Message them and be like, look at me now, bitch.
Look at me now. I need to do that too. I need to do that. I'll never forget the person I actually quit on when I left my corporate job. I had this boss and I hated her. I hated her so much, right? She was like my she was my second to last boss, right? But if it was not for her, I never would have left, probably, you know? She made it so uncomfortable for me. Long story short, I taught an eBay class like 5 years after I left my job, and guess who was sitting in the class?
Oh, that's nice.
That was real nice. That was real nice. And at the time, I realized, I was like, you know, really? I remember when I came up to her, I was like, you know, I have to thank you. You drove me fucking crazy. I hated you. You know, and now I gotta thank you because it was you that motivated me You were the foot in my ass. That's what I tell people. The best motivator, you know, they say, how can I get more motivated? I'm like, the best motivator is a foot in your ass. There's nothing better than that, you know?
There's nothing better. I'm actually friends with almost all of the old bosses and stuff from my old jobs.
Yeah.
Like the really old jobs, almost all of them. I'm friends with them. And one of them actually asked me, I was like, dude, like, you didn't like me. Like, why are we friends on Facebook? I was like, dude, you motivate me every day when I think of you. if I see your update and just see your face, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing the right thing right now. And he laughed and he's like, dude, this is fucking great.
That is
like,
great.
You're just insane. And I was like, yeah, but it's true.
It is
like,
true.
It's not like I didn't hate him as a person. I just hated that, you know, how he made me feel.
Yeah.
You know, like a number at a company, you know? And I was like, and when I see him, I'm just like, I just remember that. I remember all the days, because I was doing outside sales back then. So every single day, hitting up 50, 60 businesses, rain, blizzard, wind, me being sick, doesn't matter. Got to hit these businesses, got to make the sales. You know, when I think of my life now, I'm like, damn, like, I can't believe I survived that.
Mm. You know, my problem, I think, is that she knew that I was fucking off. She could see right through me, man. Because I would get my work done before everybody else. They were just slow, you know? They weren't getting it. I would get in there, get it done, man. I'd be, look, back in there, those days, I was on Yahoo all the time. And, oh, man, it's crazy.
All right, man. Let's wrap this up. This has been a longer episode than usual, but
yeah, man,
you gotta show me that recording because mine
is down.
Down.